Hello and welcome to another summer episode of the 3Bid League podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tyler, joined today by very special guest, the co-GM slash head coach slash, I assume, emergency ninth man of the Red Scare TBT team, Joey Gruden. Thank you for joining us, Joey. Second appearance on the pod. Very few people can say that.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I must have done a decent job my first time around.
Yeah, I mean, you and Jeremiah have gave us a pretty great show last time around, so we had to bring you guys back. This year, you're the one in the TBT bubble, and not only are you GM this season, but you've made your national television head coaching debut. Right now, you're 2-0. How you feeling about that? How did this whole head coaching thing come about, and do you feel like this record is enough to qualify you for the next major head coaching opening in college basketball?
I don't know about all that yet. I think it so we're trying to get a good coach. We tried to get Coach Goodwin from last year, but just the whole bubble, it was hard to find an older coach with families. They don't want to leave that long or with jobs. He couldn't leave his head coaching job at Capital. But, yeah, we asked around a few people, and then kind of Jeremiah Boss, who actually gave me a little kick in the butt and said, man, you can do this, and all my teammates and all the players said, you can do this too. We trust you. So once I had their trust, I thought for sure I could do it. It was just kind of hard for me at first to make that switch from friend slash teammate to coach. Just playing with these guys and clowning around with them in the locker room, and then now just trying to lead them. I thought that was going to be a little tough at first, but it's been great, honestly. They've all been respectful and listened to me and taken everything I said, and they've really trusted me, which is, it's been awesome.
Yeah, and we know you're not playing the friend card because you've had one of your best guys, Devin Oliver, out there at crunch time both games, even though he's not someone that you really cross paths with as much. You left a guy that you coached last year in Louisville on the bench in crunch time first game, and one of your old teammates, Kyle Davis, in the second game because, well, at some point, someone's got to be on the bench, and you got a really talented team. So, really, what's been the most difficult thing of coaching this team so far through two games?
Most difficult thing has honestly been the level of talent in this tournament with the opposing teams. I mean, for example, we just played Mike Dom, a offensive force, probably could be playing in the NBA. And then they ran a lot of good actions too. So just the grind of preparing and trying to get ready for our next opponent on short turnarounds and having our guys ready to play, it's been tough. I mean, I think it'd be tough for any coach, let alone a rookie head coach. But yeah, I mean, just the level of play in this tournament is the highest of the highest. But it's been really good. We've had great guys who've bought in and listened to what we're saying, and it's been a team effort. But I'm really impressed with how we played so far, and I hope we keep it rolling.
Yeah, and you've crossed paths with some great coaches, both in the NFL within your own family and some of the greats of college basketball over these past few years. Is there any advice that you specifically remember one of those guys giving you that you've really been trying to heed these last few days?
Yeah, I mean, just being around the game from a young age, I just seen what my dad and my uncle have done, the way they lead their teams and talk to their players. I just want my players to feel confident. I think instilling confidence in my players is a huge thing. You don't want players out there walking on eggshells. So just having that confidence in them, I think goes a long way. And then another thing, my uncle, my dad, and a couple other coaches texted me before the first game, and they just said, be confident out there with every decision you make. Trust your instincts. You know what you're doing. Your preparation it'll lead you the right way. Just trust your gut and be confident, and then good things will happen. And that's honestly what I've done, and that's what's been working for me. So I'm going to try to keep doing that.
Yeah, and you really trusted your gut at the end of the game against House of Pain. And what I can honestly say is one of the most bizarre Elam endings I've ever watched. You guys are absolutely rolling. I know personally, I was getting ready to shut the game off and move along with life. I think you guys were up 20, and then with one basket to go, you couldn't get it. And they cut the lead all the way down to 5. You stayed with the lineup you had on the floor. Took you a while to call a timeout. You just kept letting your guys do their thing, and really seemed to me like you were trusting your gut. was there a moment there where you really started to panic and question your decision-making and maybe consider really switching things up or calling out one of your best plays?
Yeah, I think we all kind of just started coasting a little bit, and you can't do that in TBT, obviously, especially when the game's not over. The Elam inning is a different feeling out there than a normal basketball game. Usually, the end of the game when you're up, it's time to coast and relax and hold the ball. But not in this tournament. I think our guys got a little complacent. They started walking the ball up, and you can't take your foot off the gas. I mean, the game's not over until you score that final point. And I think the refs, they let the game go a little bit more. They don't call as many fouls, and people are looking for fouls. You just got to be tough and find a way to get that last basket. But, I mean, those guys put us in that position, so I didn't want to take them out. They were really rolling at the end of the game. Even the guys on the bench were just saying, let them roll. They're playing great. So it was an easy decision to leave them in. I thought they were going to get a basket a lot earlier than they did. I'm just glad we ended up getting the win. I started getting a little nervous there when they cut it to five. I'm not going to lie to you. But I knew we'd find a way to get that last basket, and we luckily we did.
Yeah, you did. The basket comes courtesy of Trey Landers. I believe it was his fourth offensive rebound put back in the game. I know he had the thunderous dunk early on. He had the basket at the end of the third quarter, but he was absolutely sensational. And really, it seemed from my perspective to be the key to that game. Going in, the general consensus among the national media was Mike Dom is going to come in. He's going to roll over all these kids from Dayton. He just beat Ohio State. Why can't he take care of these guys? And I'm not going to sit here and say he had a bad game. He was still decent. I ended up with 13 points, I believe. But you guys really did a great job of shutting him down. So what was the game plan going in? And what was it like to have the comfort level in a guy like Trey Landers to be able to stop him?
Having a guy like Trey Landers is huge. I mean, I think we all challenged Trey, and he'll never back down from any challenge. It was awesome. The whole week he's saying, I got this. Don't worry about it. I got this. And just having a guy like that with the confidence he does. And, I mean, he's strong as an ox, too. He looks like a middle linebacker out there. We told him just be physical with Mike. Make every catch hard, push him out, make every basket he earns tough. And then it wasn't just Trey, though. Ryan Mixell did a great job when he was switched on, too. We just wanted every basket of his to be hard and tough, make him earn every bucket he got, which he did. He made a couple tough shots, but we were willing to live with those. We just didn't want to have any easy open threes or easy putbacks to get him in rhythm. So we did a good job holding our own and making a team effort, flying around, making it tough on him. And we ended up holding him to only 12 points. I think he was like 4 for 12. But we did a great job, and Trey and Ryan Mixell did a fantastic job on him.
Yeah, they were both great, and especially just Trey basically looking like a brick wall out there. Mike Dom, one of the strongest guys in basketball, just flat out couldn't move him. So I guess a two-part question to you. Number one, if you replay a Mike Dom on Trey Landers post up 100 times, how many times is Dom actually able to move him out of the way? And number two, if that had started to happen, did you guys have a contingency for how you were going to go after him?
Yeah, I mean, 100 times, I don't think he's moving them very many times. I mean, maybe a few if he gets tired, but I mean, Trey's lower than him, and low man wins. They say that in football and basketball. He just got under him, and he stood his ground. He had a tough time moving him. I think any guy in this tournament will have a tough time moving Trey. He's super strong. If you touch him, he's rock solid. So he's not moving. He's a tough guy to move. But if Trey did get in foul trouble, or we weren't having a struggle, we did have a backup plan, just doubling the post and making someone else beat us. But luckily, Trey did a great enough job, and we didn't have to even go to that.
Yeah, and this team's been just absolutely fantastic on defense. Really, all eight guys have done their part on that end. So for you as a coach, and especially being a young coach, really, how is the game planning different knowing that you have a guy like Trey Landers who can get a shutdown stop on a star, a guy like Kyle Davis who can do the same thing up top? Like, how does that change the game plan when you have these elite defenders and you can leave the things like double teams as backup plans.
It's awesome, honestly. Having two guys like that, not usually you're lucky enough to have one, but we got two. We call them little bulldogs. We got two bulldogs out there who can guard another guy on the team and not essentially take him out. We know they're going to be okay by themselves, and it's huge. It gives other guys the ability to help and focus more on their man and not worrying about running around and trying to help everyone else out. But just having two guys like that, their offense is honestly icing on the cake. We're living with their fantastic defense and their toughness and their heart. And honestly, Trey produced on offense yesterday too, which was huge. I mean, I think he was a leading scorer, 19 points. Just having two guys like that, it's huge. Not going to lie to you. It's a luxury that we have, and we're lucky to have them.
Yeah, I think everyone just calls guys like that glue guys, and that term really gets overused because that can basically describe any good role player at this point. But Trey Landers, Kyle Davis, and I'll throw Ryan Mixel into that group too. These are elite cream of the crop glue guys in what they do. And I love that term bulldog. I might have to take that from you and start using it on future episodes. Yeah. But another one of your really interesting bulldog guys, Ryan McMahon, played for you at Louisville last year. For those who don't know, you were a grad assistant under Chris Mack for the Cardinals. And Ryan McMahon is really, from what I've watched, kind of a wild card. He gambles a lot on defense, but comes away with some fantastic steals. He loves the deep three. And through two games, can't fault him because it has worked. He ends up with 16 points and just a shade under 18 minutes played last game. But with a guy like that, do you have a fear that you're going to have to pull him aside and try to calm him down? And if you do, how do you know that that moment has come?
Yeah, I think Ryan Mann is probably one of the best shooters I've seen in person. He's got one of the better shots I've seen. And when he's confident and he trusts what he's doing and he's playing free, I think that's when he's his best. So I never want to tell him to take it easy or stop shooting, because if you do that in a shooter's head, it could mess him up or get him out of rhythm. I'm okay with him shooting as many threes as he wants. His knock has always been his defense, but past couple games, he's really held his own against some very good guards. They put him on an island a few times yesterday, and he ended up getting a few stops. And I've been really impressed with him, honestly, on that defensive end. I thought we're going to have to worry about him a little bit on that side of the ball, but he's really held his own. He's done a great job, and his offense is obviously elite. Having a guy out there like that who can shoot it and stretch the floor is huge for us, especially with guys like Trey Landers and Kyle Davis who like to drive and kick, and just have another guy who can space the floor with Daryl Davis is huge. Elite shooter, and I never want to tell him stop shooting. He can shoot as many times as he wants.
Yeah, and as someone who really didn't watch a ton of Ryan McMahon at Louisville, I feel like that's a bad knock on him, at least through these two games, in terms of him being a poor defender. He's certainly not a Kyle Davis, but very few people are. And you guys have the luxury that with so many shutdown one-on-one defenders, Ryan McMahon does not have to be your top guy. And you've now basically put him into a position where he can just be a ball hawk on defense. And he's really, to me, through the TV screen, it seems like he's really excelled in that role. I specifically remember one possession, second quarter against House of Pain, where the point guard drove the lane and Kyle Davis is just absolutely glued onto him. He gets a hand on the ball, and then out of nowhere, Ryan McMahon's hand is right there too. And those two have just been such a fun defensive combo to watch. I wish Ryan McMahon had gone to Dayton, but I don't know, kind of rambling there. So you got McMahon, you got another hot shooter in Daryl Davis, you got Devin Oliver. And then other than that, you got a bunch of guys who in their college time had reputation for just kind of being side pieces as offensive players. You don't have the Scoochie Smith or the Jalen Crutcher or the Obi Toppin on this team. You just got a bunch of guys who basically get the job done. So when things bog down and the offense just isn't clicking, we saw a guy like Jalen Crutcher take over last year. What's the game plan for this team? if things get bogged down, say in a game against the Golden Eagles or maybe in a finals game against a team like Overseas Elite?
Yeah, I think I like our team makeup without the one guy. I mean, when you got a guy, I think sometimes teams rely on him too much, but we got 8 guys who can all get the job done. I think that's what makes us so great. Everyone's unselfish. We don't care who scores. We don't have a juggernaut, essentially. I mean, everyone's getting about the same amount of shots up. Everyone's getting about 10, 12 points. I think it's been a group effort, and I really like it. I think it's a fun style of basketball to watch when everyone's chipping in. When everyone's getting their fair share on offense, I think people are more willing and excited to play defense. So I think that's been really good for us. And if the end of the game comes and we need to play and we got to ride to someone, I think we just go with whoever's hot that game. I mean, last game it was Trey Landers, we go to Trey Landers. The first game it was Daryl Davis, we go to Daryl Davis. So it all just depends on who's hot that specific game or who has the best matchup. But just having a group that who can get it done, each player, each position, it's really nice. And we're extremely unselfish, and I think that's what's got us this far.
Yeah, and the king of this team game, unselfish basketball on the offensive end is Kyle Davis. He's been kind of your de facto point guard after really not playing the position at all in college because he was teammates with Scoochie Smith. So why would you have him play point guard when you got Scooch on the team? But I know we asked you and Jeremiah this question last summer, and I think it's worth asking again. What's happened with Kyle Davis's game his first 2 years as a professional that has now turned him into a pretty good professional point guard?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyle, he's always been capable. But like you said, we had Scoochie Smith. So, I mean, there's no reason to – you want to play them both. Obviously, you got two elite players. But Scoochie is obviously the better point guard. But Kyle has been playing point guard overseas, I believe, the past couple of years in Argentina. He's worked on his games. He got much better going both ways and making reads and just being a true point guard. And I think that's what's gotten him a lot better at that position. And we all trust Kyle at anything he does. He's a warrior. He's a competitor, and he always just finds a way to get it done. So if we ask him to play point guard, he can do it. If we ask him to play center, I'm sure he can do it too. He's just an ultra competitor, and he always finds a way.
Yeah, one of my favorite Dayton players to watch over the years, just because of that mentality that he will do anything at any time. One of those other guys, Ryan Mikesell, he was really the star of the first game. Hits 4 threes for the first time since his Dayton debut. And then goes ahead and has another great offensive game in the second game. So what's changed with his confidence? And maybe nothing's changed. But he was a guy who put up a little under 9 points a game last year with a ton of offensive talent around him and now back-to-back double-digit scoring games. So what's been different for him in terms of really him fitting into the game plan now that he's moved along to the Red Scare team?
Yeah, I've known Ryan since he's been a freshman at Dayton, actually. He's been one of my better friends. He's actually in my wedding. Having him play with confidence, like you said. I mean, he had Obi Toppin and Jalen Crusher on team last year. There's only one basketball. It's going to be tough to find. Everyone can't have 20 points a game. But with our team and our makeup, we need him to do more, which he's been doing. He's been shooting the ball great, which has been awesome to see. Having him have confidence is huge for us. He's a great shooter when he's confident. He's been unbelievable for us, offense and defense. He's taken on the challenge of guarding guys like Mike Dom, who should be playing in the NBA. He's been switching on to point guards. And he's just so versatile on offense. He can shoot it. He can dribble it. He can pass it. He's honestly like a point wing out there for us. He's been great. He knows the game. He studies the game. He watches film with me. So he's been great for us, and we need him to keep it going.
Yeah, he's always struck me as someone who – last season really sacrificed a lot in terms of his own stats. And he was kind of pushed into that fourth man role, hell, even fifth man when Ibby Watson was on the court. And he's really shined in this tournament, showed us that he wasn't doing that because that was what his skills were. He was doing that because he was sacrificing for better players. So him, Trey Landers, same thing. He's really shined on offense. Have those guys been showing some excitement about being able to get some more shots after a season of really top-notch sacrifice from both of them?
Yeah, I wouldn't say excitement. I think those two guys, what makes them great is their unselfishness, and they honestly just want to win the game. They don't care if they score 0 points or 30 points. As long as we win the game, they're happy. And those are the kind of guys any coach loves to have. I mean, some teams you got guys who win the game, but they only have 2 points, they're upset. Not those guys. As long as we win, they're happy. And that's what every coach dreams of having, honestly. But they've been – I think they're out to prove something too, obviously. I mean, they had their season canceled. People were questioning if they were going to make a run in the tournament, if it was all a fluke. And then also they're going on their professional careers. So, I mean, they're playing on ESPN. A lot of people are watching. I feel like they got something to prove, and they're proving it right now. They're playing with the best of the best, and they're doing a great job right now, and I hope they keep it up.
Yeah, and you bring up the cancellation of the season. I don't want to go too deep into that from an NCAA tournament perspective because it just kind of bums out Dayton fans. And right now this is a pretty happy basketball week for us. But what I will ask you about is this team comes rolling in on a 21-game win streak. They lost the game right before Christmas, recovered after the break, and then went 18-0 in A-10 play. So do you feel like you guys are an extension of that team and you're trying to hold up that undefeated 2020 right now?
We definitely feel for the Dayton fans. Even our alumni guys feel for the guys. And we've just made a point to play as hard as we can. The whole city's watching us. They even had citywide Red Scare Day for our first game. We know the support's there. We don't want to let them down. And Dayton basketball, as you know, has always been just ultra competitive and gritty and grinded out. And that's what we've been doing. We're playing hard, and it's been fun to watch, and it's fun to have been a part of so far.
Yeah, and part of that so far is you guys have been in the TBT bubble up in Columbus, Ohio. You're basically confined to the hotel. I know they've shown us on TV. You're pretty much in lockdown. You can leave the hotel and go about 10 feet outside. But after that, they got the security guys to shut you down. So what's really been the most enjoyable bubble activity for you guys outside of just hitting the practice court?
Yeah, practice has obviously been a lot of fun, but we have we have our individual rooms on our floor, and then on the 20th floor, we have like a team suite, which is, it's a big, big room that we can all come and hang out and meet in. We watch film in here, but a lot of the guys are up here all day just hanging out, watching TBT games or just watching regular TV and just joking around, and it just feels like we're all back in college. It's a lot of fun. The guys are always laughing and joking, and they just love being around each other, which has been – it's been a pleasure to coach and be a part of again, obviously. It brings back the glory days, I think, and it's like we never left. Everyone just smiles on their faces and just having fun, and I think everyone's just grateful to be here and just grateful to be around each other again.
You guys got any great like in hotel competitions, whether it's ping pong or video games? Because with guys like Trey Landers, Ryan Mixel, and Kyle Davis, and the way they play on the basketball court, I would assume that they're probably a little bit competitive in everything.
Yeah, I know a lot of them are playing video games. I mean, I walk by the hall and I hear them screaming at their TVs with each other, playing 2K and whatnot, or Call of Duty. You can constantly hear Kyle Davis screaming at his TV, Daryl Davis yelling. Evan Oliver yelling. So, yeah, you know, they're always joking and yelling at each other. So it's been funny to hear and funny to see.
Yeah, so seems like you guys are having a great time. You're rolling into the semifinals. And so I think the perfect question to end on here is to ask you, you guys are 2 wins away from the championship. If you win, have you come up with any ideas for what the first thing you'll spend your 105 grand share on is?
We've been thinking about that. We've been joking around about it a little bit. Obviously we're taking it one game at a time. But if I got that money, I don't know what I would do. I know our team is going somewhere. We're going to have a good night. We're going to have a lot of fun together. And what's going to be like if we do win that money or lucky enough to win that money. It'd be really nice, not going to lie to you. I think everyone's excited. Chance of winning now. There's only 4 teams left. We're right there. This is exactly where we want to be. Devin Oliver even said, man, if you told me 3 months ago when COVID was happening and we're 2 games away from winning $1 million, I would have called you a liar. So we're all here. We're excited. We just got to finish the deal and come out, finish strong.
You know, that's exactly what I want to hear. You guys got the eyes on the prize. You realize that this team is really, really good and you got a shot to win it all, but you're still moving towards your eventual career as a D1 head coach. You got your, we're going to take this one game at a time coach speak to start the answer. You are, yep, you are well on your way to being a top-notch press conference coach here, Joey Gruden. And we thank you for joining us here today on the 3Bid League podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
A big thank you to Red Scare GM and head coach Joey Gruden on joining us here. And a big thank you to all of you who continue to listen to us even through the summer months here. Just a reminder, if you enjoyed the pod, please give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And if you have any comments, you can send them to us through Gmail. That's the number 3bidleague@gmail.com. Or just shoot us a comment or a message on Twitter at the number 3bidleaguepod. Thank you all for listening, and hope everybody continues to stay safe.